when three historically black churches were burned in Louisiana over 10 days, communities across the state were reminded of the long shadow of racial terror that is part of our nation's history.
These churches really around the country have really operated as the center of black life. And so when you're thinking about a way to terrorize the black community, one of the first and principal institutions that people are going to seek to terrorize, to destroy, historically have been the black church.
There was Dr. Ibram X. Kendi. More from him later. While no one was hurt in the attacks, a 21-year-old white man was arrested and charged with arson for the church burnings.
I don't know what this young man's motive was. I don't know what was in his heart, but I can say it cannot be justified or rationalized. These were evil acts. But let me be clear about this. Hate is not a Louisiana value.
Louisiana Governor John Bel Edwards there. The church burnings are the latest examples of high-profile attacks on houses of worship, like the mass shootings at a Pittsburgh synagogue last fall and a historic black church in South Carolina in 2015. According to the FBI, hate crimes are on the rise in the United States for the third consecutive year. I'm Tanzina Vega. This is The Takeaway, and that's where we begin today's show. I have two guests to help us understand the history of acts of hate brought against houses of worship. Dr. Randall Maurice Jelks is author of Faith and Struggle in the Lives of Four African Americans and professor at University of Kansas. And Dr. Ibram X. Kendi is the author of Stamp from the Beginning, The Definitive History of Racist Ideas in America, and the director of the Anti-Racist Research and Policy Center at American University. Dr. Kendi starts by addressing the fact that authorities have said they can't say whether racism played a role in the crimes.
They're looking for obvious sort of intent. They're looking for someone leaving a statement that says, I hate black people or I hate this particular group. And anything short of that, they're going to question whether it is a racist act. And I think that's indicative of how we understand race in general in this country and racism. Instead of assessing whether racism is involved as a result of the outcome, we look for intent. And when we can't find intent, we question whether racism is the cause.
Dr. Jelks, you grew up in Louisiana. Tell us about what these parishes are like.
Well, the particular parish, St. Landry's Parish, is the home of Zydeco music. It's a home of a large African-American Catholic population as well as Baptist population. It's a interesting and intriguing mixture of Arcadians, or what we call Cajuns, in that region. And it certainly was the home of slavery, American slavery, all of those parishes where my grandparents are from nearby. All of those were where enslaved Americans dwelled, lived, grew up side by side with poor whites in their community.
And Dr. Jelks, a lot of these churches have long histories in their community. What role have these churches played historically for the community?
Well, historically for the community, before there was other things to do, the internet, television, radio, black churches were the center of cultural life and the center of political life, and still play that role in a lesser degree, I would argue, today, but still very central to that. Politics would go through those churches as a way of communicating, as a way of helping people form their moral ideology in the face of ongoing racism in Louisiana in particular.
Dr. Kendi, the burning of black churches is not a new phenomenon in the United States. Sadly, it has a long and painful and violent history in our country. I wonder if you could tell us a little bit about how that specific act of terror has impacted our country's history.
Well, I think first and foremost, to sort of add to what Professor Jelks said, these churches, I think not only in Louisiana, but really around the country, black churches have really operated at as the center of Black life, and so in a community. And so when you're thinking about a way to terrorize the Black community, a Black local community, one of the first and principal institutions that people are going to seek to terrorize, to destroy, to set fire to, historically have been the Black church. And so it's indicative or symbolic in a way of burning down the community. Now, of course, in many of these places, these communities have been resilient and they seek to rebuild themselves through the rebuilding of those churches.
Also, partly, I want to take a little bit of a look at the media coverage on this because, Dr. Kendi, you wrote earlier this month that the media, essentially after the New Zealand mosque attacks, failed to identify white terrorism for what it is. Are we seeing that now?
I don't think so. And I think that is a problem. And I think this is a larger issue. It is the FBI, local policing forces, even the Justice Department is no longer able to deny, and in some cases is coming out stating that domestic white terrorists are the greatest domestic terrorist threat to American life today. People who are mass murdering people, who are burning down institutions, so we have to call something what it is, and that's white terror. And I see the reason why I say white terror is because these people are typically terrorizing on behalf of whiteness, a superior whiteness that they believe is under attack. And this is, if we don't simply call white terrorism what it is, then in a way we're continuing to shrug it under a rug as it continues to harm and terrorize people.
Dr. Jelks, some of this is being portrayed in the media, at least, and in comments by the governor specifically, as a relic of a bygone era or a, quote, very dark past. Is it in our past? Because it seems to still be very present.
Well, that makes me chuckle. I think this is a part of a larger pattern, not just in Louisiana, elsewhere. I think that there is real puffed up fear led by white elites. I'm going to argue that they are led by white elites that make working class to poor white people fear that they are somehow going to be overtaken by the mass Black and brown hordes. And this triggers racial violence. This happened at the turn of the 20th century as well. Lynchings were around property issues, and somehow that poor whites and working class whites would be removed. And this was often promoted by the elites in the name of their own interests. And I can't help but see what comes out of the public policies in our nation's capital, the public policies, particularly in Louisiana, and policing policies playing the same kind of role.
Dr. Kendi, I want to bring you back in here because I want to take a look at some of the reaction from the press conference in St. Landry Parish last Thursday, specifically in reaction to the person who committed these crimes. Let's take a listen to what the governor of Louisiana, John Bel Edwards, had to say.
And by the way, let's pray for Mr. Matthews,
yes,
and his family, that God will create in him, in all of us, but in him at this time, a clean heart.
Yes.
We'll also take a listen to St. Landry Sheriff Bobby Goodrow talking about his relationship with the suspect's father, who is one of his deputies.
He was shocked and hurt, as any father would be. Yes. And my heart went out to him yesterday.
We often don't hear that type of reaction if the suspect were a person of color. Am I wrong here?
I don't think you're wrong. And I think I think we should figure out a way to be empathetic, even when someone has committed tragedies and atrocities and mass murders. At the same time, it is patently obvious that when a Black person does something far less hurtful to a community there, or even a people of color in general, there's far less empathy. There's a rush to judgment. There's a rush to claim someone as engaged in an act of terror. There's a guilt till proven innocent, and so I think that is why when we have these white suspects, suddenly they become human. And when there are black suspects, they are demonized as predators. And I think that we need to figure out a way to treat black people as if they're human, and even figure out ways to condemn very strongly white terror.
I agree with Dr. Kendi in full. This person did a terrorist act, no matter how much his parents might love him. And he did this terrorist act against peoples whose relations love them too. And that's the unfortunate side of those comments and not being hard-headed. No one said those forgiving and kind words when a young black man was shot at a convenience store in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And that's the hypocrisy of the whole thing.
Dr. Kendi, would you like to weigh in on that?
Yeah, and I think that at some point we as a nation are going to have to realize, and I should say specifically people whose racist ideas, color, crime, and terror, black and brown, are going to have to realize that their lives are in danger by people who are most likely to be in danger as it relates to terrorism by people who happen to be white. Or we're going to have to say that people of color are not American, because people only imagine that people of color are being targeted by these people when in fact it's white people too.
Dr. Ibram X. Kendi is the author of Stamped from the Beginning, The Definitive History of Racist Ideas in America, and the director of the Anti-Racist Research and Policy Center at American University. Dr. Kendi, thanks for being with us.
Oh, thank you for having me on the show.
And Dr. Randall Maurice Jelks is author of Faith and Struggle in the Lives of Four African Americans and professor at the University of Kansas. Thanks for being with us, Dr. Jelks.
Thank you for having me.